happy day. If you notice the beginning of the third verse, it says, now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful center, rest. Kind of ties back to what you were saying, Brother Kenny, at the beginning in Psalm 62. The Lord kind of brought a couple of phrases from that psalm to my heart on Sunday night, but I wasn't sure where the references were. I didn't want to get up and say something if I couldn't give a reference. But two places in Psalm 62, it mentions, my soul finds rest in God alone. And I think that ties into that undivided heart. Because if our rest is in God alone, our heart's not going to be divided. And the only thing that can really shatter our rest, can really shatter it, is when our heart is divided. And when our heart is not fixed on that center of God. And that it's that inner shaking, that inner lack of rest, that causes the turmoil within our spirits and within our heart. But David goes on to say that God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. But then he goes on to explain and describe, at least, a situation where it seems that someone is coming to assault him or someone that he knows as though they were so weak. And the enemy likes to make us feel that way at times. What do you have? How can you stand? How can you make it through? But your rest and your trust is in God alone. And it's not in your ability alone, but in your dependence on Jesus that is going to see you through. And he reminds himself again, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. At first he said, my soul finds it. And then he's reminding himself, find that rest in God alone. And he goes on to say how other things, even people that we would look up to and admire, they're nothing but a breath. There's not the stability there, but our stability is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even riches, the things that we have, the things that we possess, they're fleeting. He says, don't put your heart in it. See, it gets down to the heart again. It gets down to the heart. The Lord's had me do a study this year on the heart, and as I'm coming across any verses in the Bible that have to do with the heart, I'm underlining them, and it's amazing how much God's Word says about our heart. And He wants our heart to be fixed in that center. And I love the last two verses of this psalm. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. I'm so glad that our God is strong. He's strong enough to see us through. And we can make that leap of faith. I remember one time when I made a commitment to the Lord, and it was just a few months later that I had to take some action based on that commitment. And I felt like I was hanging on to a rope and swinging out over the Grand Canyon and letting go. And I don't know if you know how deep that Grand Canyon is, but it's a mile down. That's a long way. And God was there, and He's been faithful ever since, and we can safely trust Him. For our heart is fixed in Jesus, and God is loving, and He is strong.
Praise God.
Yes, amen.
He will hold me with His mighty hand. He will hold me with His mighty hand.
Great love to us. Recently I was reading in the book of John, chapter 17, and the way that it's translated in this Bible, verse 23 says, I am in them, and you are in me. May the experience of perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. And that last phrase caught my attention. Does God really love us as much as He loves His Son, Jesus? And you know that God loves His Son very much. And I thought, wow, that's a lot for God to love me. And this morning we were singing the song, The Wonder of It All. And then also last night in our youth meeting, we were talking about how great God is. And we were mentioning creation and all that God has made and how powerful He is. And I was reminded again of this, of how great God is. And what are we that he should love us? But it's such a wonderful thing that God loves us so much. So thank the Lord tonight for his love to me.
Amen. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior comes to thee.
testimony is probably long overdue, but I feel led by the Lord to share my gratitude to him for something that happened about 6 years ago. I don't know if you all appreciate what a great treasure you have here in Pilgrim Camp, but most of the Christian world that I knew up until 6 years ago, the main focus tended to be on evangelism or social gospel or those kind of things. And most of the, I had never run into anyone who truly had a deep relationship with Christ. I knew lots of Christians, a lot of well-meaning Christians, a lot of Christians that have witnessed, evangelized. I was part of one of those groups, and we would, you know, on occasion go door knocking, hold activities to, you know, try to win people to Christ. So these were good people, and they were people who would sacrifice their jobs and move to other cities to start new churches. But no one ever taught this devotion to Christ, this that you can have this deep relationship with God, that you can live in the joy and the peace and fellowship of God moment by moment. And so about 6 years ago, I was going through a very difficult time, and it was so difficult that I had contemplated suicide and actually had a plan. And somehow God caused me to not do it at that time. I don't know what would have happened if he hadn't intervened. It may have happened a short time later. I don't know. It was a pretty difficult time. And a pastor from my church had gotten together with me, but really didn't have much to offer. I mean, you know, if you can't direct someone to Christ and to that power that's there, and that love and that peace and that joy, and, I don't know what you have to offer someone. And so he counseled me, you know, other people counseled me. It was a very difficult time, but fortunately, just shortly after the crisis, in a pretty desperate strait still, and Ken Shelton came to me as a new patient, and had an infection in his toe, and he was looking for a doctor. So, and he says when he was looking through the physician finder directory to find a doctor, he was going down with his finger, and the Lord stopped his finger on my name. So I forever grateful that God had mercy on me, sent someone into my life that should show me that you can have a real relationship with Jesus.
I might as well give you the sequel to that story, because I was in the same fellowship. I was serving the Lord by cranking up human power to try to get through another day, and I was worn down also. And I went to my pastor and I said, I have to know Jesus. I have to know Jesus. I'm so dry. I'm so empty. I need him. I need a relationship with him. How do I know Jesus? And he said, what do you mean? Don't you believe you're saved? He didn't know. He didn't know how to have a relationship with Jesus. I used to go to the Christian bookstore and I'd buy the modern books, the bestsellers, and I'd buy a foot and a half of shelf space at a time. I said, there's somebody in here that can help me. Somebody has some wisdom from the ages. The people who have gone before me in the Christian life, they can help me. They can show me how to live this life, how to find an actual satisfaction in Christianity. And I went through them all. It's just dead, 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 one after the other, just so dead. And then one evening, Tim came over to my house, and he brought some books with him. That night, he was sort of aggressive. He said, well, you need to read this, and then here, read the section I marked here, and then read this book next, and read that. And I said, look, Tim, I'm done with books. I'm done. I've read them all. I can't. There's nothing for me there. But the book he gave me was Three Friends of God by Francis Bevan, one of the Deeper Life books, an old author. A book from an author who knew Jesus, about people who knew Jesus in the way I wanted to know Jesus. And after a couple of weeks reading that book, I came to believe that there is such a relationship to be found, that I can know Jesus here in this life, and that the way to do it is this way of following him, consecrating your life to Him, of throwing off everything and having Him only. And so I'm very thankful to the Lord for sending Tim into my life to lead me to Ken, to lead me here.
Somehow I have a feeling we're going to go right down the line, don't you?
Yes, it's my turn. I affectionately refer to the three of us as the three stooges. I'm just not quite sure what's the we came from the same church, and my crisis came when I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a test coming up, but I made a deal with God. I said, Lord, you know, if it's benign, I'm going to basically take that as a sign that I can serve you, you know, in the future. And if it's not, I'm finished. You know, I have no purpose really then. And I'll just take that as a sign that, you know, we don't have anything to do with each other after that. And then I got the diagnosis, and it was, of course, positive. And that's when he brought me to my knees, and I really had to lay it out to Him and kind of say, well, you know, this is when I need you more than ever. So about that time, Dale had given my wife a book called The Full Blessing of Pentecost, which unsettled me in the title a little bit, considering my Baptist background. But my wife got it, and I wanted to look at it before she would read it, and I looked at it, and I could find no objections to it. I found out, and we found out together, that there is a deeper life you can have with Christ. It is worth pursuing. That's why I'm here.
Praise God. Thank God. Great is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Do you know Jesus, my Lord and Savior? Jesus, the Son of God. Have you ever seen Him or shared of His favor?
Let's sing that first verse again so that all of us can enter into the blessing of it. Hallelujah.